And in our exercise of late, looking at Jeremiah and reminding, helping us understand the day and the time in which we live. And Jeremiah has been there in Jerusalem ministering for 40 years. And in the process, he has gone through the whole system to where a good king, Josiah, is replaced by a bad king. And at the end. And so therefore, here's Jeremiah going through the system. And now he's looking at the total removal of Israel. 10 tribes and now the 2 tribes. So if you look at the land, where's Israel? Where's the temple? Where's the city? Where are the people? What about his piece of property he bought while he was in prison? All of it vanished, disappearing. There's nothing to see. And yet he believes. He believes and he enjoys looking at devastation and ruin. He believes, and God blesses him. He had to grow and know to get to where he had. God progressively allowed the sequence of events to go down the corridor of time so that he could develop. Remember over in, hold your finger here, over in Jeremiah in chapter 12, in the process of all of that, he had to learn to hang in there. He couldn't just go through so much and say, wow, I'm done. He didn't do that. He hung in there. And God progressively went from one bad king to another bad king to worsening and worsening conditions. That's what he went through. And when we came to chapter 12, remember, God, he's looking at everything, wondering how this is going to go here. And in the process, he's looking and saying, boy, things are really bad. So when we share that together down in chapter 12 and verse 4, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. In other words, Israel isn't fixing anything, and all they're doing is going from bad to worse, and they aren't interested in fixing, healing, correcting. They aren't interested. And so it's just going downhill. Verse 5. And so he's looking at that. And if, remember, verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the day at land of peace wherein thou trusteth, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou be in the swelling of the Jordan? In other words, you looked at the conditions. Well, they aren't as bad as they could be, and they aren't good. It's all right. It's all right. Now, God said, if you run with the footmen and you've come this far, you have to understand it isn't going to go away. And so you better eat your vitamins and take your pills, because you're going to have to run with horses. This isn't disappearing. You're going to run with the horses. And horses run faster than men and can outrun them. That's what you're going to do. You're going to face downhill and downhill and downhill. And that he's warned that and told that. If you think it's not too peace, it's pretty good. It's peace. We have this is this republic and and no Republican no more, no more democracy almost. And in the process, well, it's something. It's peace. Well, wait till it goes to the next stage. Wait till it goes to the next stage. That's what Jeremiah is looking at like we are. Now, head back over to chapter 33. And in chapter 33, you would recall, God is encouraging the remnant of believers. And he's put it in writing so that we could read it and that they could read it. So in the process. And we shared together, he's in prison, still in prison, as it were, in the court, as all of that. The conditions exist, have not gone away, is imprisonment in the court. King's court, etc., Nebuchadnezzar, all of that is right on, it's happening. So God says, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, so God says, listen, I'm going to speak to you. Remember we did all this. God said, not angels going to speak to you. Jeremiah, in particular, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. I want you to call unto me. I'm going to answer. I want you to look to me. I'm going to show you. The word show, remember, to tell, to bring to light, to make conspicuous, to make visible. I'm going to make something visible, very obvious to you, so you can see. You're seeing all the bad stuff. You're seeing that. Now,
that's all in verse 3.
3 again. Make it very obvious, the great and mighty, and we shared the word mighty because you got to get that under your belt a little bit. It means to cut off. It means to be incomprehensible, inaccessible, beyond your understanding, beyond your ability to do anything. The like we shared last time, the grape, cutting a grape, hunk of grapes off. Once the grapes have been cut, you can't get something there because it's gone. The grapes are gone. They're gone. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, we then looked at, in Deuteronomy 1 and that Israel was facing, and God tells them what they're facing. Moses did, but Moses, by way of God, helps them understand. The cities that they're going to find in the land of Palestine when Joshua goes in to attack. What are the cities? They're very fortified. And how do you explain this word, mighty? They are walled up. They are fenced in. And we read it, remember, in Deuteronomy. They are walled up the wall is as high as heaven. So as you go into attack in the land, Joshua and that, you're going to have impossible odds to overcome. You're going to go against an enemy with giants and chariots of iron, but they're in cities that are walled up to heaven. You can't bridge the wall. You can't climb over the wall. How are you going to get over a wall that's higher than the heavens, as high as the heavens? You don't get over the wall. It's inaccessible. It's impossible. You can't even comprehend getting over the wall. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, inaccessible, and so you can't understand it. And in the process, it's beyond your ability to grasp. You're going to need God's help, God's revelation, God's word. God has to help you, and you're going to have to believe, because what you're going to face is beyond, and what you're going to go through is beyond what you can understand or get to. In fact, the end of verse 3, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You do not know. You do not understand. You are not able to get them. Now, keep that in mind if you can. Here's Jeremiah learning, and you go through all the things. And God's going to tell him, Jeremiah has proceeded down the corridor of time 40 years. And in the process, he's come to this point where everything is zero, and he's going to have to believe God. God is now telling him, saying to him, now, Jeremiah, I'm going to show you things that you could never understand. You couldn't even imagine how it could be worked out, how it could come to pass after all of this. You won't believe what's going to happen now. And so here's Jeremiah has to trust God, and that's what he's told to do, to look to God and trust God. Keeping in mind, as we shared together in Isaiah, remember, in Isaiah, keeping that thought in front of you, Isaiah tells you, it tells the people, tells us, his thoughts and his ways are higher than the heavens. Now, I could stop that and just rest on that. What does that mean to you? Your thoughts, my thoughts, and God's thoughts are higher than the heavens. Now, compare, won't you? Think, here we got God's word. That means what? That God outthinks us, outranks us. We can't even cope. Don't even talk about the subject of your thoughts and and God's thoughts. Since his thoughts are higher than the heavens, I wouldn't bother even debating it. There's no debate higher than the heavens. The walled up cities are higher than the wall is higher than the heavens. There's no sense. Thy thoughts are mighty, mighty, mighty. God's way up here. We can't even discuss it. Don't even think about it. Too big, too much. Our little minds can't handle it in no way, shape, or form. And to boot, remember we shared in the process, or would share in the process, that God's thoughts and our thoughts, God knows our thoughts, but his are higher than the heavens. And adding to that, God says, listen, and my thoughts about you, your thoughts about me are like this, zero. My thoughts about you are more than the sand of the sea. Now think about that one. Now here we are, here's Jeremiah, with all of looking at it, and God's telling him, I'm going to do great and mighty things that are beyond your understanding and comprehension. And Jeremiah, who said that? God did. Since God said it, and God's thoughts are higher than the heavens, and my thoughts can't even get off the ground, and God's thoughts to me are more than the sand of the sea. Wow. I'd have to stop. That's what I have to do. And if I said Jeremiah, I'd stop. Wow. That's what God's going to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, take a little few moments, if you can. And we did that last time, looking at Daniel and all of that, and God, and everything. And then God tells us that he tells us some things, and some things he doesn't tell us. And he isn't going to tell us. You're going to tell him. You don't need to know. You don't need to know some things. And we went through with that so that we'd like to know great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, God, what are we missing? And how is it going to work out? Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if I can, so God, what are we going to do? We need to go and understand you and your word and your work and your grace and your mercy. So God, here we go. If we can, over if you can to, Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And you will note, here's David. Now, and David has a wonderful relationship to God all the way down the line. And in the process, David is having to struggle through a number of things and work through them. And in the process of all of that, I started to say, in verse chapter 25, and in verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. He will teach in the way that he shall choose. Okay, so everyone is special. You're all made special. We're all different in a wonderful way. And we're all savable and salvageable. And God does a wonderful thing for every person that's ever born, if they would ever possess it. And if they would, now, having said that, he's going to teach in the way that he chose. Everyone's different in many ways, and the timing of things and the changing of things, all has to take place. All of it takes place like that. And here we are, we're supposed to be growing and knowing and changing into his likeness. Now, all of that's different. But if the Lord were to come right after I say something, if the Lord were to come, you and I, all of that being different, would all disappear. And in one moment, God will finish what he started down here. For each one different status and state and understanding and commitment and everything else. But in that one moment, all that God has done or could be done in you will be fixed in one moment, and we'll all be like him. All changed. You won't even have a millisecond to think about it. Now, but in the process, here we are. And God, here we are like Jeremiah, each in our little lives, going down the corridor of time like David. And God works through. We work through bumps and bruises, growing up, and every other thing we have to go through. And in the process, we go through it. And we have to keep, if we're going to keep believing and trusting God, we keep going down the corridor of time. And in the process, but God has, now saying it, bringing it home to me and to you, Jeremiah 33:3, God is God, and he's going to do what he's going to do in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And what he's going to do, we don't know it. We wish we knew. We understand what we think we know. Stop, I don't get drifting here. We just use going, look, God taking us up in a moment of time. Do you understand that event? Can you possibly understand going from this moment out of the body, out of the mind, out of the earth, out of everything, to God? I'm going to tell you things. I'm calling to me and answer me. I will show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. You couldn't even imagine them. I can't imagine, maybe you can, when God changes us. I can't imagine that event. Or the actual event. I know what it is to be here in this body and all of that, but I can't understand being changed to be in his body. Simple. God, there's a all of it. I want to grab a hold of it a little bit, of all the things that you have in mind for each believer as you help us to grow up and to know you better. Psalm 25 and verse 12, God will teach in the way that he will choose. Now, practice that. Over in chapter 25, here's David. David says, God's going to teach me in the way that he chooses. All right, chapter 25. Picking up, please, a little word, teach. Stay with the word teach to make it simple. Watch. How's he going to teach you, God? David. Verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Teach me the paths that I'm going down. I'm going down a road. You know the road. You already know the beginning and the end of the road. Teach me thy paths. Verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. God, lead me in the path. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. God, I want to understand. Call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You just keep going down the corridor of time. Verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Going to teach them. God, here I am. Verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. So, David, God's going to take every believer and teach in the way he shall choose. And then David, God's going to do all this in me. I got all kinds of needs. I need to understand 1,000 things. As I get down, God, help me understand a couple. Help me understand a couple of them. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind again, chapter 25, verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. God, here I'm going down the corridor of time. There's all kinds of landmines, all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of darkness, and the enemy of our enemy. The world system, and the world system doesn't want us to go down safely, and everything is in the way. So, and there, all kinds of things. So it isn't an easy path, Jeremiah, 40 years. It isn't an easy path, but you have to go down it. So you go down the path in the process, and in verse 15, I went to look to God. I can't look to the ground because I couldn't understand all the mind. I don't know how to detect. Do you understand how to live out tomorrow? You haven't faced tomorrow yet. You have no idea what tomorrow is, actually. Actually. How are you going to get down tomorrow? You don't know it. You have no idea how it's going to go in 1,000 ways. What am I going to do? I can't see tomorrow. I can't even prepare for it, only so much. God, I can look to you. You already know tomorrow. He will pluck my feet out of whatever is there so that I stay what? In the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm going to go right down that corridor. That's what I'm going to do. And God's going to help me. Verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. And here's Daniel going down the corridor, and he's going to try to work out each thing in his the best way he can, and honor God's wonderful saving grace. Now, therefore, picking that, going down the corridor, and we don't know everything, but God, we have God's word, and we have God and his word. As we proceed, Jeremiah had God and his word as he proceeded. So therefore, I want to add the next thing in my little head. I'm going to down. I understand God's going to do one for me. God may have me go to the left and someone else go to the right in the sense. one place goes up and the other place goes down? God knows. Therefore, Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, picking up if I can, Psalm 119, in the light of all of that, those wonderful verses, directly over to verse 105, as you know. Thy word, 119, 105, thy word is a lamp, a light unto my feet, and a light unto my path. It doesn't give me a whole lot of space. It's just a light for my feet. I can see them like a little flashlight. It can only be only so far, and it only beams out so far. That's all it does. And if you're looking at a mile corridor of darkness, the little light only is a little bit. You can shine it, see your feet, and you can see where you're walking a little bit. Over 130, Psalm 130. And in Psalm 130, adding to that, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So God's going to help me. He's going to pluck my feet out of the net. I'm going to go. He's going to teach in the way he shall choose. And God has got great and mighty things that I can't know them. They're too much. And it's too early. I have to wait till then. And then I'll know. But God said, you will know. And they are beyond you. If I tried to explain them to you now, you still couldn't get them. What happens right now if I could explain to you the rapture in a little bit more, and I explain that to you. Now, I'll give you whatever details I got. We got, are you still not lacking to try to understand the actual event? What we said a moment ago. Can you even grasp what it would be to be changed? After I gave you all the information. I gave you all that information. Can't do it. My little mind can't even grasp. God said, call unto me, I'll show you great, inaccessible things. Things you can't understand. I'm going to show them to you plainly. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if I can, another illustration, over to Job. And in Job 23 will help us. Job's a wonderful example, as you know, but in the light of what we're looking at, in the light of what we're doing, here's Job. And chapter 23, Job. And Job's going through the exercise like Jeremiah, only a different exercise in a different way. His is all personally. The whole world around him seems the same, but everything for in his little world is totally shaken up, personally. Now, so here's Job. And Job is going, he didn't quit. Like in Jeremiah 12, it's going to get tougher and tougher. The devil's going to go and allow the devil's going to go in Job chapter 2 and allow Job to get clipped physically, and boy, from head to toe, physically. I got to tell you, it's one thing to have a problem with your foot or something, another thing to have a problem with the whole body. Well, how would you like to have, have shingles? You know what shingles are apart from the roof? Over the whole body. Do you know what that would be like? I don't know what that would be like. Anyone that's had shingles over the whole body. I can't even imagine. Now, and full hopefully, God, the devil doesn't have enough shingles to do that. Now, hang on. Now, in the light of that, here's Job. And But verse 8, you know, it's a super-duper-duper thing. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, backward, but I cannot perceive him. I want God to help me understand what's happening. Verse 9, on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. God knows where I am, and beyond great and mighty things which I don't understand. Verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take, and he, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's all going to be wonderful. Beyond, what are you saying, God, in Jeremiah 33:3? I'm trying to encourage the remnant. Whatever you see, lousy as it may be, terrible as it may be, no matter, no matter. I'm going to show you things that'll make, but hang in there. You have to go through the process. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. There's no cheap way. There's no cheap way to grow up, you know, to become 5 years old and act as if you were 55. You can't do that. You got to have the other 50 years to develop. And if you rob the children of developing, which is what's happening, then they don't develop. And when I don't develop properly, I'm frustrated. You're trying to get me in a world, I don't want to get sidetracked. Anyway, you got it. Now, so in the process, here's Job. And Job is going to go and enjoy and be tested in his most wonderful way. Sliding down to verse 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Remember what David said? He will teach me in the way that you choose. Job, what are you saying? God has all kinds of other things going on about me, but he's going to help me go through them. That's what he's going to do. Wow, that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, God, so in the process of that, over if I can, a little exercise, as you know, over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John and chapter 14. John and chapter 14. And you will note, if I can, I'll pick you up, please, chapter 14, if I can, in verse 4. Whither I go, said the Lord, you know the way, you know. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, they did know something. They did tell them. But, Thomas, you know, but you don't know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Because we don't know. And so, here's God encouraging Thomas that they know. And Thomas says, we don't know. And the Lord says, yes, you do, but you don't know what you should know. What should you know? Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here I am standing in front of you, said the Lord. I'm standing right in front of you. I told you, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. You know it. Tom said, no, I don't. You're looking right at it. You're looking at me. You're looking at me. I am the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. To the Father in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process, I am the way, the truth, and the, as I said. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, he's the way. Over, you don't have to turn there, Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 8, Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration and all of that, and when they're all excited about getting all involved and seeing everything, and the Lord we're studying in the resurrection, he's there and boom, he's gone. And they get all excited about Moses and Elijah and wow. And he takes them away. You're excited about the wrong things. Oh, boy, this is going to be. And God takes it away. And he takes it away. And what are you going to do, God? Matthew 17 and 8. He took Moses and he took the whole thing away. They were enjoying something awesome. But he took it all away. And they saw only Jesus. Chapter 17, verse 8. And God said, the only one you need to see is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't tell me you don't know the way. Don't tell me you don't understand where you're going. Don't tell me it isn't going to be. I'm telling you, he, look at him, look at God. He already has the plan. He already brought you into the world. He's going to take you out of the world. It's all his. He already has it. Look to God who has it all. He'll show you great and mighty things, inaccessible things that you know is not. Look to God. Remember Psalm 25? And he will pluck my feet out of the net. How's he going to pluck? I'm going to look to God and he will get me in the rough, out of the rough places, out of the traps, out of the tricks, out of the deceit. He'll get me down the road. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you can, over, if you can, please, to John chapter 16. And John chapter 16, going to verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the true time shall come, it isn't yet, you may remember that I told you of them. You don't remember. You won't remember until it happens. Say, hey, he told us that. I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. I was with you, and I didn't tell you everything. Now, what we did, think of what we did last week with Daniel and all that. I don't have to tell you everything. But what's going to happen, God? How's this going to be? If I told you, you couldn't understand. It's like a high wall. You aren't ready for it. My ways and my thoughts are higher than the heavens. You aren't going to figure it out. Don't even. After I told you, you still won't know it. You could even quote and write a book about it. And you still won't know it. You still don't know it. And people do that, you know. They don't know it after it's all done. What do you say? What'd you say? I don't know what I really said. Say, did you really understand what you were talking about? Well, no. Now, so therefore, in chapter 16, and if I can, in chapter 16, verse 6. But because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And you're all upset because it's going to, I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to be upset. Jeremiah, I don't want you sitting down and crying and saying, woe is me. I want you to get up and I'm going to take care of you in the midst of, and he does in a wonderful way. After Nebuchadnezzar levels the city, God takes care of him in a wonderful way. And in the process, just sit tight and look to me and rest. But here's the disciples, all upset, death, the burial, the death and the crucifixion all coming. Even they didn't understand that, but it was coming. Now, having said that, there's sorrow. So we do that. We don't understand. We get upset. What's going to happen? Sliding down to verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. You cannot bear them. No. You don't understand them, do you? If I told you them, you don't understand them. God, we would like to know the mighty things. They are going to be mighty. It's going to be wonderful what I do and how I do it. But you have to inch your way along and get what you can, as much as you can. And remember, in Acts and chapter 1, you have to turn there, they want to know what's going to be the end, how's the kingdom going to come? And the Lord Jesus said to them, disciples, apostles, what did he say to them? Be of good cheer. My Father has all of that, but he isn't going to tell you. He's not going to tell you. We don't. You aren't going to know it because he doesn't want you to know. It's no good for you to know. It's no, like we said last time we were talking. Are you ready? How well would you live with the fact that if you were, I think it was Wednesday, how well would you live with the fact if you were given a little note, the day and the hour you will die, and you knew that? How do you think your life would be if you knew the hour and the date? Oh, I'll do everything better. No, you won't. No, you won't. It doesn't work that way. I don't want you to have to find it out either. It doesn't work that way. It's not a good way to go. Remember, we had a film on that. We used to have the film 6 o'clock on that. The whole thing was about that. The girl was told the day she was going to die by an angel. And then it develops it. Anyway, now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, over if I can, please, in the light of that, over to, and you know, I'll do this in the process, have to go in closing. Over, if I can, Ephesians. I'll show you great and mighty things which you've never thought. And without even having to make a big jump, Ephesians and chapter 3, and look at verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, beyond our capacity to understand, God's ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. He thinks of us as the sand of the sea. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's wonderful, wonderful working. That's what it is. They're working in us. And now, in closing with the thought. Remember Ezekiel without turning there. In Exodus. In Exodus chapter 33, you remember Moses. He had an awesome relationship at the burning bush. Right? Exodus 3. He had an awesome experience with 40 years in the wilderness. What do you mean awesome? Do you know how many times he went up into the mountain before they started wandering? He went up even to the beginning of that time. And he went up to the mountain, up in the mountain, and spent 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water, no air. God in the middle of the fire. I don't know. I can't even imagine. That's what he had. That's where God spoke to him. Wow. Now, Moses, boy, did you have that advantage. Well, Moses said, yes, but I had a glimpse of God who said, Moses, take the shoes off your feet where you stand as holy ground. I had a glimpse of him. And in all of that, I wanted more. I knew enough, like Paul in the third heaven. I knew enough. So Exodus 33, God, show me your glory. You say, how could you ask that? Show me your glory. God, yet something else, and I haven't even begun the journey. And our Lord, in closing, I got to give you one more closing. John 17. And you know it. John 17. Chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 24. Our Lord, before he closes in the upper room, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in my Father's house, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the earth. I want them to see how beyond your thought and your thinking, it's unexplainable, incomprehensible. I want you to know it. The glory of God. Moses, we're going to have it. We're going to have a wonderful thing. And so is Moses already. Moses already got that. We're going to have it. Wonderful. And what are we? Why? Why it's so wonderful. Chapter 17 and in verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them reason that they may be one even as we are one. I want them. I want you to see. What do you want me? It's beyond what you can ask or think to see the glory, the grandeur, the greatness, like Moses wanted. Show me thy glory. But in the meantime, our Lord, you don't need. We don't know the way. Thomas, you do know the way. God, here we are in your presence, and we've received you as our Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. And here we are. And we have a taste, more than a taste. We have it. We're with you, a glorious God. We're with you as we are. Wow. And we're waiting to be with you to understand that which is beyond us at the moment. But in the meantime, God will teach in the way that he will choose. And as we're obedient and subjective, being in subjection and humble and quiet, God's going to do a wonderful thing in our little life. And you don't have to go anywhere, sit under the tree, and God is going to do it. It isn't some remarkable, I got to do something. No, you have to believe, and God will do it. It requires believing.